Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q, where we come together to celebrate, uplift, and educate.
My name's Jared Corden.
Got my host here.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Faust.
Tiffany, last time we were on the show, we talked about something as a school district we've been working on. We spent about the last year working with our community, our parents, our students, our staff, on what they value the most and what they hope for in our schools. And these three key concepts begin to coalesce and emerge. And they were around inspiring growth and how important that was, building community and expanding opportunities. And so over the next few episodes, we're going to be digging into those. And today we're going to be looking at inspiring growth.
Yep.
And what it looks like, how it starts within us, how it takes shape in our schools and throughout our community, and the role it plays in moving all of us forward. I'm joined today by some incredible guests today. Got Ryan Wilson here, Zach Weiss, Jessica Hand, Dr. Joe Weber. And so welcome to the show. And thank you for being here and having us dig into this conversation about inspiring growth. So I'm just going to kick it off. Why don't you spend just a minute introducing yourself, share a little about the work you're doing in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I'm Ryan Wilson, and I am the student body president at Roseburg High School. And it's just really fun every day having a dedicated class period where the objective is literally just to how can we improve the community and what are some hallmark traditions and elements of Roseburg High School that need to get worked on and kept up for like all of our students to enjoy. So like right now we're in the middle of prom, and that's like a lot of work to do, just big event planning. But there's always just things kind of fluttering around, like no matter what the season sort of is, because, you know, it all flows in the same like high school cycle. Like we start with homecoming and then winter comes around, then we have the break, and then there's, you know, where we are right now and the year's about to end. But there's always, you know, such as being here and being able to speak about this, like that's been a new thing this year as well. So it's such a blessing for sure. So
cool.
Thanks.
My name is Zach Weiss. I'm on the Roseburg City Council. I'm a business owner, honestly, just a dedicated community member. I try to do a lot in the downtown area, primarily. That's where I live and where I exist. And it's definitely my front yard. So it's where I spend the majority of my time, help out with pretty much anything somebody needs help with. And yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Cool. Great. Awesome. Thank you.
I'm Jill Weber. I have been in the Roseburg community since I was 12 years old. My current title is Director of Teaching and Learning for Roseburg Schools. I've been part of the schools, working for the schools for 36 years, but have been part of the schools, I won't say how long, because I've a while. But I'm also a mom and a wife, and I volunteer and I'm on boards, and I just love our community. So where I can say that's my job, there's so much other parts about who I am as well.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I'm Jess Han. I'm the executive director for Thrive On Boy in my day-to-day life. I'm also a mom of two. I think that's my most important job. Love this community. I was a proud 2001 graduate of Douglas County 25 years ago this year, and loved it so much that I had to move back here to work and make a home for my family. It's a pleasure to get to work in this community with so many wonderful people.
Thank you, and thank you for all the work you're doing. So let me ask this question. When you hear this phrase about inspiring growth, what does that mean to you personally? And why do you think that is an important concept to be thinking about and focusing on?
I think I want to go back to when I was principal at Roseburg High School. One thing that was important to me was that every student found their passion at the school, whether it's leadership or CTE or FFA or drama or music or art or science or math, whatever it may be, that they could find what drives them and makes them passionate. I think we all need that. I didn't think we all could speak about what that thing is. I love learning. I love gardening. I love baking. And if y'all want to talk about that, I could go crazy on that. But those are all things that, for me personally, drive me to get better. And I think when a student can find their passion, or an 8-year-old or an 80-year-old, or like my husband's grandfather, 102, we're still growing. And I think that's important to find that thing that drives you. So when I think about inspiring growth, I think about that job at the high school of helping every kid find that thing. But I also think about us as a community of what is the thing that drives us, that makes us more passionate, that makes us more excited to just every day. What, so that for me is inspiring.
Yeah. I think we never stop learning. Just because we're out of school doesn't mean that we're not still learning. So that idea from 8 to 80 is so important. We absolutely need to keep that mindset. And I think actually there's a common thread that happens in communities where, you know, as you age out of school, you almost think you got it. And I think whereas you become sedentary and you start to lose that momentum of it because you don't have people around you that are inspiring you to do those things. You know, I hear people all the time ask how we do these things or how we get the things done that we are trying to accomplish. And it's really just about taking the step, like getting out there and doing it and leading by example and getting people involved in it. And we never stop growing. I don't think we're supposed to. I think we're supposed to keep growing. It's always. I think that's where you start to really see people fall apart or see communities fall apart or anything. Like, we're supposed to keep moving and working together.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And human beings, we're not set in stone. We're not like a mountain or some, you know, we are always adapting and growing to other people, to our environment, to what happens to us. And I agree with that totally. Like, there's a quote on, he's a chemistry teacher, Mr. Wiley, outside of his door. It says, you only get old when you stop learning. And I think that is 100% true. And education, it's not something you can quantify into, you know, like, oh yeah, this is the rigid step-by-step plan we have for you to, you know, do whatever. It's really just about the principle of, hey, like, there's a bunch of stuff in this world, you know, there's so many passions and pursuits, and all of that is just instrumental to who we are as beings.
And learning doesn't happen inside the walls of a school only. That's one place, but it can happen when you're gathering together as a community or you're involved in different community activities. It happens because you decide you want to learn more about master gardening, and so you join a group. There are so many places in our community that can happen, and I know that's some of the work that you do.
I think having that sense of curiosity, it can drive us. That passion that then sparks a purpose. And I think from my perspective with Thrive Umpqua, we take a lot of inspiration from those cultures that were living the longest, and those folks live hundreds of years, right? Where they are really at the core of their community because they found a strong sense of purpose, and they're still connecting with others and giving that gift to really helping others find their sense of purpose as well.
You know, what's interesting is you're talking about this, and it, I wondered about this because I think there's this, to your point, Ryan, there's like the human experience, and we're designed to grow, right? Yes. We're designed to to learn and develop, right? But there is this, there is something about inspiration. Like, what is that? What's that provocation, that thing that gets us going, whether it's a curiosity? It seems like when we talk about passion that came up, oftentimes there's, we find people like passion tends to be driven more toward things that are controversial. Or what I just heard you bring up actually is actually passions that are uplifting. They're passions that are, that really get you motivated toward things. So how do you find like inspiration and passion that is uplifting you? So I think that seems to be more sustainable.
That's so true. So I have this thing, this saying that I've been kind of spinning around about curiosity and how we waste so much curiosity. I feel like, you know, we'll be scrolling on social media and it's like, we'll see something and, you know, be like, ah, oh, there's something wrong. Like, or why is that like that? Or why are they wearing those pants? Or like the things that we're curious about, like there's so many great things to be curious about. And I think that that is kind of the seed, right, of inspiration, because when we start to really explore that curiosity, it just the experience of inspiration happens, which is an interesting, I mean, it's like, it kind of is an experience. It's not, you know, something that you can easily put into a box. It's like we, when we weave in and out of our curiosity, it just happens.
Yeah.
I think it's like a really fascinating,
yeah,
you know.
And I think too, the, you know, there is a certain amount of necessity to recognizing the things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that where we kind of got lost in the whole thing was where we take that, where we move from that, because there's a certain amount of value that comes in, you know, cynicism of recognizing that something's wrong. But that's the beginning. That's where it starts. You know, you start acknowledging that something's there, and then you go, okay, now where do we move on from there to actually improve this? Like, you actually have to be like, I really don't like seeing people push out part of the conversation that, you know, it's bad to do this or bad. It's all a part of the process. Like, you actually have to recognize that it's there.
But that's where curiosity comes into, because if you just go jump to the answer before you start asking the what could we do, or what are some possibilities, or what's next, or right.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, unfortunately, the world that we've kind of veered into with people living in little echo chambers of stuff, we don't actually get that kind of conversation that goes back and forth. You know, you have an opinion about something that's wrong, and you formulate in a chamber an answer, and you never have that curiosity, that conversation that actually offers the opportunity to explore different options to really move into that.
Yeah,
sure. So Adam Grant has a book, Rethink. Think Again. And I love that book. For anybody that hasn't read that, it's a must read, like for everybody on this planet. But a part of his philosophy is he goes over four different archetypes of like our mind and our way of thinking. And that is politician, preacher, prosecutor. And then scientist. So those are the four. And he just explains how being in the scientist mind, always questioning what we know and then updating our beliefs based on new data. That is like so profound, because if we get stuck in those other three archetypes, we won't move. We won't expand. We won't move further from that. And so if we can just, and it takes practice. He also mentions that it's harder for the smarter people, for intelligent people, because we rely on so much. We invest in our intellect so much that we rely on that so heavily that we're just like, oh, we don't need to, you know, rethink that. But it's so important to stay in that curious mindset of the scientist, where we're always exploring.
Yeah, curiosity brings so many things like that, you know, that brings in humility, a certain aspect of that. Like, you're going to need to be able to look back and go, okay, where can I reformulate my opinions? Where can I continue to refine it? You know, Descartes talks about that a lot and a lot of his philosophy. And that's an important one, you know, that idea of removing the things that are no longer necessary so we can move forward. And that's that continual growth. It keeps happening. It never stops, or it shouldn't stop.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And beliefs and opinions, like, they aren't identity. Yeah. Like, and especially with smart people who, you know, might dedicate their whole lives to certain, like a certain discipline or a passion, like they will say, like, you know, what I know or what I believe is like, it's a part of me. But, and that's dangerous, because really, like, beliefs and knowledge should be like tools to build with and to do whatever with. As opposed to being something that you can get offended by if it's proved wrong. It's like, and that's also where curiosity gets stamped out, because it's sort of abandoned. It's like, oh, you know, I'm old now, or like I already went to school for this and that, or I already know all these things. And it's just sort of like, you know, sometimes it'll fade away naturally from other reasons, but I feel like a lot of it can just be discarded out of the ego. But you know, beliefs are really just like, you know, tools that you know, just like a software, you just update it with more information, you know, so you can be more effective at whatever your objective is.
That is so wise. Yeah. It's amazing that you know that at your age. Because another thing that he says in that is that we should not identify with our beliefs. We should identify with our values.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah.
Let that be the compass. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great. So I'm wondering about, like, you know, what does it look like? I mean, maybe you can just give us an example of someone who you've seen be inspired. Now, I think of listeners, I think as community members, we're always, you know, we're drawn to people who are inspired, and you're like, oh my gosh, like they love whatever it is. Right? They love, planting or supporting or exercising or serving or working with kids. Mm-hmm. What does it look like
when you see someone who's inspired? And I do want to touch on also this question of like, what gets in the way of that? What gets in the way of growth? So let's start with this one. You guys seen anybody inspired in the community this week?
Yeah. I think that, and it's kind of funny because right now in my AP literature class, we're going through like poetry, and it's like a big poetry unit. And so one of the huge like themes that I see a lot with poetry is at least the poems that we look at, because there's just a huge bunch of them that talk about kindness and sort of like the cycle of kindness, but all just the other things of, you know, part of the human condition and how we are sort of, in a way, all of us are each other. And so actually, I think that when I see, you know, even if it's just like kids working together on an assignment or, you know, something they only want to do just to get it through the deadline, not anything that they're going to think about that much, like that process, even when it's that simple in itself, is literally what I have been reading a lot of like poets discuss. Cause it's like, you know, whether like, and it spans all across like poets that sort of tie that cycle of kindness and humans being good to each other and inspiring each other to like Native American spirituality, to other religious elements, to a sort of very secular, like strict, like analysis, almost like scientific of that's how people work. And so actually lately I've been thinking like, this is actually beautiful art to see human beings literally like feeding off of each other, even if it's just like right here in Roseburg or like right at the high school, like collaborating on an art project, or like you see something online and he's like, oh my gosh, like that's a cool thing. And here's, now I'm going to go and execute, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's like, I've been appreciating it a lot more lately.
It's Monday. And I'd had one day at work and I saw people inspired all over the place today. But before I came here, I was with a group of teachers and principals who were talking about instruction and how they can work together to collaborate, just as you're saying. And they have a problem, a practice they're working on to improve things. And listening to them and their dedication, the detail, their excitement, the growth, it's inspiring to be in the same room listening to people who are excited about what they can do for kids. And so that's just today. I could go back every day and tell you a story, but that was just today.
Well, I was just going to say something very similar to that, because in my role, I get to see dozens of organizations each week, and to be able to like kind of look behind the curtain and see the leaders at some of those organizations that just care so deeply about this community and pour everything into it. And it's contagious. Like you feel better being around them because they're just pouring themselves into their work. Yeah. But specifically last week, I was at Green Elementary actually. And it was an event that wasn't just for the school. It was open to that entire neighborhood. And it was a group of families coming together to talk about what they would like to see differently for that neighborhood, with the school really being the hub for that, right? The place where the families come together. But it was for all ages. There were 8-year-olds there, and there were actually probably 17, 8-year-olds there too.
Right, yeah.
But they were fueled by like, we see some things that we love about it here, but we also see some things that we want to be different. And like, how can we find that together?
Yeah.
So I was totally taken back by that energy and that excitement, but also honesty with each other of like what could change.
And that totally ties into what we just talked about, with curiosity and finding the issues and working together. Yeah. I mean, that's really cool how that is connecting.
Yeah. Yes. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't have those conversations. Yes. Yeah. So important. Connection is so, and that's where I felt that you were going with that was, you know, watching people collaborate. That connection piece, I think, is a really huge part of growth, especially collectively.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Kind of like what you were talking about, you know, as far as when you were talking about the intellectual and people being in a certain avenue, that connection, that community aspect is so necessary, because there are going to be people that make the plans. There are going to be people that lay the wall, like build the walls. There are going to be people that lay the foundations. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their role, but it doesn't actually build anything unless we do it together.
Growth. I think it's isolation is what kills growth.
What's interesting is you asked the question, have you seen anybody who was excited, passionate, I can't remember the word you use today, but every one of our stories was not about anybody. It was about everybody. It's about coming together. And so I think that.
And on that note, actually,
we have a very special video it's a video for the video side. It's an audio for the radio side, but that the RHS leadership students put together on how they feel about growth and what that looks like to them. So we are going to check that out. And then we're going to go to a quick break.
I feel like since becoming a high schooler, I've definitely grown a lot just because there's so many like challenging things socially that you just have to learn how to navigate. And then obviously like hard classes too, but I kind of learned how to study. I learned how to be a leader, how to communicate with other people and my teachers. And I grew a lot in that aspect. Through this high school, I have grown into kind of a young adult who is learning how to, I'm going to have to live on my own and just figure things out for myself. My parents don't get to do it for me anymore. I haven't only gotten a little bit taller. I've grown in a lot of other ways, and I'm thankful to this high school for that.
I guess one way that I've grown and like throughout high school and like sports and school, I guess, is I've become more confident as time has gone on. I feel like now that I've kind of learned that it's okay to kind of just do things, I can confidently just do the best I can, just do the best I can do.
I guess like to me, it means that just taking chances to like fly yourself out there and get involved. Because like at the beginning of the year, I like joined a new leadership class, and I had like been really involved in my middle school once in seventh grade. And those were always more comfortable for me, obviously, since I had like already had experience, but like transitioning to like the leadership one, it's a little more complicated now because like we have so many committees and so many groups and leaders and all that stuff. But I guess like I put myself out there more and I met so many amazing people. So yeah, I guess that's what it means to me.
Overall at RHS, I believe that inclusivity and diversity in our clubs and programs has grown as popularity in doing sports, for instance, and track leadership has grown. I think the more people are engaging in all these extracurriculars, the more people are going to want to, you know, join their friends. And I think because of that, the school is growing a lot and people are a lot happier and things are going amazing right now.
Okay. So throughout my time at RHS, I have met a lot of different people with a lot of different personalities. And I've seen how those people with such differences can come together and it makes such a larger impact on the community as a whole when people that have differences and different opinions and ideas come together. And I want to give people a reason to celebrate diversity. It's not something we should fear. It's something that we should overcome. It's something that we should use to really bring in more people, make a community, because a community is a place where people just come together to help one another.
What adjectives are important for growth? Sacrifice.
Perseverance.
Improvement.
Change.
Progress.
Development.
Advance.
Persistence.
Maturing.
Blooming.
Cultivation.
Connoisseur.
Vulnerability.
Improvement.
Creativity.
Potential.
Learning.
Exponential.
I love the video. It's great. Big shout out to Halo Hannah for putting the video together. And I will say this, I love these young people. It's an amazing generation of young people you should be proud of. I'm curious, is there anything you heard that inspired you with our young people?
I'll be honest, just even seeing that many young kids motivated and activated by the idea of growth and getting into leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe it was where I spent my time in school, but that was not an active thing that I remember seeing. So even just seeing that and hearing about how many young people are really motivated to be a part of change in the community, that the, as a collective, it's really inspiring to me, you know.
I think they could have been part of our conversation.
I know.
A lot of things I said were things that I heard us talk about. Mm-hmm. And when that talk, whether you're a high school student or you're someone in the community, those, I think the attributes and the things need to happen are the same. So I was, that struck me. The other thing that struck me was how much risk taking came up, that you need to be vulnerable. You need to be able to take risks to be able to grow and to learn. And we talk about curiosity, but we didn't talk a lot about that vulnerability and risk taking.
So I'm scared. Yeah. Doing things scared for the first time, seeking out challenges. I was inspired by them talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were great. One of the things I picked up there is many of the things they talked about were personal, but also how many were community-based.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Teams, leadership. It was that sense of doing things together. Absolutely. You know, even their frame of, you know, inclusivity, that's something we do together. So a lot of it was kind of going back to our conversation earlier.
Absolutely.
So much of this happens as a community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was impressive how conceptual their ideas were.
Yeah.
It was really, really great.
Yeah.
And to your point with vulnerability, I completely resonate with that because doing this feels so scary. And I mean, it did walking into the, you know, I'm like, okay, we're doing a radio show. Like, you know, it was scary and it took a lot of bravery, and it does. And it's not comfortable starting something new, but it's so helpful and necessary for growth.
Well, and where that goes, you know, kids at that age that are starting to understand that, you know, things that are scary are okay.
Hmm.
Yes. That you, we have no idea what interest that will have on their growth. You know, that will change everything as they get older. You know, if they're starting that young, I didn't start doing it until I was in my 30s when I really started understanding that being scared is okay. It's a part of the process. You know, like I have this whole thing that I talk about where it's called failing forward. Like it's only a failure if you don't learn something from it. Mm-hmm. So getting out and doing that, that's a part of the process.
Don't
grow so
comfortable.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. Resistance creates growth. Affirmation creates consistency.
This generation does not shy away from that. We found our young people. I mean, Ryan's a good example here. Like they're going in and knowing it's going to be hard, but still saying it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So each of you are serving in really unique ways across our community. I want to just ask you a question here, and we'll get into a conversation here. Where are you seeing growth happening right now in our schools and community?
I mean, I could speak to that. And it kind of touches on the question earlier when we were talking about people being inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, being a part of the city council, I am a figure that people want to reach out to if they have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
There are way more people inspired and moving forward and trying to be a part of change than I ever thought possible. Mm-hmm. The amount of, I just had one an hour and a half ago where somebody had called and reached out and asked if we could sit down, and they just want to get involved. And really what's holding them up is they don't know where to start.
Right.
And that's, and if that's the only holdup we have, we are in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are moving forward. That is a really good place to be.
Yeah.
So what are some areas that you would like to inspire growth in our city government?
In the city government?
Yeah.
I mean, I would really like to see growth upon the vision that's communicated to our community. Mm-hmm. I would like to have a very transparent view of where we're headed. I think it's really hard to go anywhere if you don't know where the destination is. You're going to kind of wander ambiguously through. But if we can really start putting together what the vision of our community looks like 10 years, 20 years even from now, and then work back to what we can do today, I think we would absolutely move the needle in a much faster way than we think. Because even just having an idea and being able to articulate it, explain it to people, it would change everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I see it on both like the macro level of like community leaders really getting together to talk about a new master plan for Stewart Park, right? Like, how do we expand what's offered in our parks today? How do we bring more energy and life to our downtown district, right? Like, these are all conversations that are happening at different tables that really inspire me and say, like, wow, there's folks that are really hard at work that are thinking about what can we do to make this a really special community and build upon what we have here. But I also see it at the micro level, like in our neighborhoods, right? Kind of getting back to the people that are just right down the street from us.
and thinking about what are little things that we can do in our pocket, our corner of the world. Something that Thrive Umpqua does each year is a longest table event, where basically we shut down the main street downtown. We set up a long dinner table and we ask folks just to come down and sit next to someone that you probably don't know, a neighbor you probably haven't met with before, and just talk about community, talk about what you love about this area, but what are some things that you would ultimately like to see change for the better? And then let's bring some of those project ideas to life. And I take so much hope and inspiration from events like that, because different mindsets, different perspectives, sitting down and coming up with some new ideas for our community together is pretty exciting.
It's a great thing.
That's such an amazing concept. I love that. I mean, just the inspiring growth. So you're having everybody get together and have these conversations. I missed that event, unfortunately, but I can only imagine the energy that shared together in building all those ideas. And then you were saying about what the outcome of that, maybe you can explain.
Yeah, so dozens of project ideas. I mean, we thought for our first year, oh, we'll hear maybe from 20 people. They have something for the community that they would like to see happen. There were like 150 different project ideas submitted that night, which it blew me away, from big to small again. And we've been able to fund like 30 of those, get them off the ground with the folks that submitted it actually working on it. Because like to Zach's point, they want to plug in. It's just usually a matter of like, where do you go and how to get started?
Well, that type of event, such a valuable event and situation, because you get so many people sitting at that table all the way down those blocks, like being there was such a cool conversation with so many different people. And even just having conversations, sometimes you're a person that starts a conversation, but you don't even know where it's going to go. You might be planting a seed and all you need is the affirmation from the person next to you that goes, I see that too.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a spot in that conversation. Yeah. And you might be starting the conversation. You might be the person that's just watering that seed a little bit to make it grow enough, or, it validates your opinion that you want something to change too. And you can kind of keep going from there. The fact that you got 180 is what you said?
150.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a building community activity for sure.
And I think to your point as well, it's like a process. Like it's not just, it requires all of us. And I love what you said about even just hearing someone's idea could be the motivator to the next step. It's like, it's just the idea, in general, of someone sitting down or a bunch of people sitting down and just bringing ideas together. Like it's so human, in my opinion.
Yes.
And when that stuff, we lose our humanity when we don't just simply resonate with each other, like sit down and take the time to, speak with each other on things. For me with the school, I am impressed and inspired by a lot of the, academic and athletic high achievers, then more so when I see people and students and friends of mine who are in their own ways, innovating in ways that also are really against the grain, and people that aren't afraid to have idea, like people who aren't afraid to say, hey, like, this isn't good. We need to change this and things like that too. Like that's what inspires me the most.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of our power as young people. I can almost, see in the eyes of my friends, like, yeah, this is someone who's, they've got a lot cooking up there, and it's going to, just give them 10 years, or even just, because, relative to how long I've been alive, not very long. So it's just, and for all my peers too, it's like, yeah, I'm just excited to see, just give them the time and then just see what happens too. So
I've seen growth in a 5-year-old who walks into a school and is just learning to what school looks like to ending kindergarten reading. Mm-hmm. I've seen growth in high school students who come up with an idea that they create in drafting, and they walk down and they put it together. They build it. They weld it. They put it on a CNC machine. And this amazing thing comes out. There's growth happening every day in our schools in so many ways, and me included. Mm-hmm. Like every day I'm learning and something new just by being part of such a great organization. Mm-hmm. I've seen growth through my work with the Boys and Girls Club, and I've seen an amazing community. Talk about supporting kids. When you have an event where people come together and they believe in kids in the way that they do, and you see that the change that happens in students being part of that organization as well. It's like, where don't we see growth happening? Right. It's more, you look around, it's an amazing community, it's an amazing place, and there's so many opportunities for people to continue to get better at whatever we want in our community. And so I have so many examples that we don't have time to talk about. So
a big narrative is about where growth isn't is in academic scores.
Yeah, and we know that's not true, right?
I would love for you to enlighten us on that.
So we hear, it's often we hear about Oregon is 47, 48th or whatever out of 50 states in education. And if you look at our scores, you're going to see that's not true. We're above the 60th percentile in math and English in our high school students. We are in the better half across the nation and what our kids are doing just on that test. Yeah. Now, I would put them up against so many other things, but the narrative that you hear is not true for our community and our kids.
Yeah.
We are achieving much higher than the average student across the United States at Rosebrook High School in reading and math and so many other ways. So I will battle people on that one because I see what our kids do and I have data that proves that that's true. So we have great growth path in our
And it's great for our community to know that. Yeah, our kids are competing with anybody. And we got a good example here with Ryan, but with across the board, we'd look at some of the testing measures with millions of kids across all states.
Millions of kids.
Internationally.
Yep. Yeah, this isn't just a local thing. It is millions of kids across not only the nation, but internationally as well. Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's just, for me, I think it's kind of weird to sort of stage it as like a competition. Because like... Mm-hmm. It's all children. Like, you know, we're all people with the same goal to grow into better human beings. And I think that, you know, even just some of the arguments, like being a kid, I'm like, sorry, I didn't know I was part of some grand, you know, whatever objective is to prove who's better than who. It's like, I mean,
we're all growing.
Kids are not commodities. Yeah. You know, we're not numbers. We're, you know, I mean, all of us were once children. I don't know how to explain it, you know, like we're all humans. And I think that, you know, especially when there's negativity around children and the education, it's like, well, kids grow and we get better when you believe in us, you know, like if you're just to say, oh, you do nothing, you know, you're not in all the scores and the toilet and, you know, everything's going wrong. And that's why we should take away from you and not give you attention, not give you resources. It's like, how do we think that works? You know, it's like, you know, if you want your plants to grow, you're not just going to say, oh, I'm growing. I'm just going to never look at them again. I'm never going to go take care of them.
That statement that we all get better when we believe in them, I think is an important one.
Yeah, for sure. And there is something magical. I'll just tell you this. I mentioned this last show. There's something magical when we get people across generations together. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something magical when you have a high school event and you see older patrons that are connecting about their experiences in Vietnam with the younger generation. And,
absolutely.
You know, there's some power in that. That is inspirational. Mm-hmm. And leads me to a question here for you up here. So first, we've got maybe someone listening today or maybe multiple people listening and wondering about this question. You know, for someone who wants to get involved, for someone who wants, maybe is listening today and thinks, you know what, I really need a little more inspiration. I really want to focus on growth in one way or another. Where should they start? What advice could you give people? So if someone's just like, you know what, I just feel like I'm kind of in a rut now. I'm just kind of going through the motions. Where would you encourage our listeners to start?
Call Zach.
that's a start. It's absolutely, go for it. Please do. To be honest, I have this personal philosophy that I kind of abide by whenever I get into a rut, is you just do something. Get out there and act. Even going the wrong way is valuable. If you start moving the wrong way, then you realize that the way you actually want to go is that way. So you can just get out and get started in something. Yeah. You can reach out to somebody. You can just go out and start doing it. People will find, if you think that your neighborhood needs to be cleaned, grab a bucket, go start picking it up. And you will be amazed at how many people will follow you. How many people will come and ask you why you're doing that. When I'm like, I walk through downtown all the time cleaning up trash and people ask me if I work for the city. And I'm like, nope, just doing it. And it has inspired, it inspires other people to start doing it. Just getting out there and doing a thing, which led me honestly, getting onto the city council started off with picking up trash in downtown. That is, it led into its own thing. And it just started by me walking to work every day and realizing that there was trash on the ground. And I wanted to pick it up on my way to work.
I love that. Just get moving. Even if it's the wrong direction, you realize, I think that's the right direction.
Yeah. Great advice.
Another way, though, is like connecting our passion with a need. Like if we can connect those two things, like, and that's what we all really have in common here is like we really honed in on our passion and we've been able to connect that with.
Well, I would say that for me is finding that passion is where I started in this conversation, but find your passion. And even if you find out it's not your passion, that's okay too. And so where do you learn? You can learn by taking the class at UCC. You can learn by just talking to somebody. You can learn by reading a new book. And what is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you're curious about? And finding other people that are similar. So I agree. It's even if you find out I didn't really like that pottery class and that's not my thing, you learn. Mm-hmm. And so let's try welding next time, or let's do something different and find where that passion is and where your community is.
I think a lot of people spend more time formulating answers. And I think we should spend more time formulating questions. I think the quality of your answer is dictated by the quality of your question.
Yeah. Yes.
And so if you can ask people how to get involved, what to do, just find other people that are doing something and follow them.
Well, I think we have some amazing connectors. Totally. And I think we have some amazing connectors in this community, dozens of organizations that have a warm, open door. Like, let's connect you with what your purpose is and your passion to a need in the community. And my organization loves doing that. Thrive Umpqua, we're all about volunteering and service and the difference that makes in longevity. I know there's dozens of others that do the exact same thing day to day. So
if somebody wants to get involved with Thrive Umpqua as a volunteer, how would they do that?
Yeah, walk downtown to our office, come in through the front door, and we would sit down with you and match you with a need we see or you're interested in, of course. But also a website. We have thriveumpqua.com too. So easy ways to find us out in the community.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think even if, you know, I love that. And but in my mind, whenever I'm going through, you know, like a rough patch or something like that, where I don't even feel like I have the energy to go, even get connected with something. Cause you know, I mean, I feel like we've all been there at some point, just like shut everyone away, especially too, just seeing like negative things about community or the world, like social media has made that so much worse. And you can like literally like our brains get overloaded with that sort of stuff. And for me, I always just find like, if I can just start with like the really super simple steps of just taking care of myself as well. Like if I just wake up and I start my day just by making my bed, like something like that, literally, if you just keep going with these super ridiculously small steps, like that's what ultimately compounds. And so you're like, you know, just like you were saying, but you know, from a perspective of even if I'm not ready to, you know, go get involved with something, or I don't even know what my passion is. That's where it begins too, in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Microtransactions.
Yeah. Literally.
Absolutely. So we inspire ourselves through those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Well, listen, this has actually been super inspiring for me. It really has been. I've learned a ton today. I really appreciate the conversation. As you might know, the kind of architecture of the show around your cue is to kind of a call to action, if you will, with a cue, right? So we talk about things that are worth celebrating and things that are uplifting and educating. I saw all that today. So I really want to thank you for spending time with us on this radio show today. We like to end the show by asking our guests a question. It's a call to action question. So I'm going to ask you one today. I want you just to think about this, and it's something you can share kind of in closing on the radio side here. What's the thing that you'd encourage people in our community to do to help inspire growth, either in themselves or in others? So what's that nugget you could share with people? What's that thing of wisdom that is community members that are out doing a lot of community work, they're out moving, they're out doing? What's something you could share that might encourage our listeners and people in the community and beyond to think about, you know, what can they do to inspire growth in themselves, whether that's, again, individually or collectively? Let's move this way. I'll start with me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm super biased here, but I'd say visit a school, like go see our kids like today. I mean, every time I walk into an elementary school for work or as a parent, I can't leave without a smile on my face. When I see what the kids are doing and I see what the educators are up to in that space, I am always inspired by that. I think the second thing I would say is like, look around in your neighborhood and like find that thing. What's that one thing that you can do or that one person you can meet to help lift them up and maybe find other like-minded people in the community that have similar ideas and passions to yours? Yeah.
I say, go learn something new. Find a passion through that learning. Be curious, ask questions, learn more about that, and connect with people through that learning. So I believe deeply in learning and the power of learning, and I think that brings people together.
Mm-hmm. I think I really think that action is what really changes the world. Movement, getting up and doing something, and having a realistic aim that's digestible. It's really easy to get overwhelmed in so many facets of our life. I mean, even scrolling Netflix is stressful sometimes.
Yeah,
like, there's too many options, you know? So if you get it, if you just start moving, and no matter what it is, whether it's community, yourself, your home, your work, whatever it is, aim for 1% better. I think if everybody aimed for 1% better, the world would all get a lot better. All it takes, because all we're trying to do is leave this place 1% better than we found it, and that would change everything. It would take time, but it would inspire others, and it would continue the process, and that would be everything we need.
Right. It would take less time than we might think.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, my thing would be like just very personal. If you can't see change, you know, within yourself, and you're definitely not going to see change in the world. But, you know, we all have our own lives. Like, we have power over ourselves. And if you can do something, you know, for some people who are struggling, like that action, that control might be making your bed or doing the dishes or journaling or something like that. And that is so powerful, because when you see change in yourself, it's like, oh, wait, things actually can get better. And then that's when you start to say, oh, there can be change in my friendships. There can be change in my schools and my community and the world. And I think it just, you know, compounds from there as well.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really great advice. And what a great conversation. Really do appreciate that.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
So we are wrapping up the radio portion of this show today. We do want to give a heads up that we've had a slight schedule change. We have gone from Wednesdays to Thursdays as we've kind of navigated the production side of things. And so it just works better for our workflow. And on that note, we really want to give a huge thanks to Pat Markham and Rochelle Carter, who have they have given so much support and so much grace and have been so accommodating to our needs. And also to our production crew, Justin and Jake, who are rock stars behind the camera. They're the ones that make everything happen. So we're very, very appreciative of all of the support that we've been given here at Lotus Media Group.
So that wraps up the radio version of this show. We encourage you to check out the video version, which includes an after show, as we continue this conversation. We hope that you'll join us next week for a conversation about building community. It's going to be a great one. We have Emma Rethwell, an RHS leadership student, and we have Shane Hayes, who's with the Roseburg Plug. We've got Joseph Ziegler with the Roseburg Receiver, and we have a very dynamic duo from the Ford Family Foundation, Liz Hill and Max Gimble. So it's going to be a great one. We hope you'll join us.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the Your Q Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.